from an undisclosed location high in the Hollywood Hills, you are now listening to the Long Shot Podcast. It's a podcast. You love this podcast. If you haven't heard it before, you're going to love it for the first time right now. Who's on it? You're about to find out. There's a host. His name is Sean. You like him. And if you don't like him, you're about to like him. There's also the other ones. And we're going to talk about all the things. I know you're not supposed to say the intro to the host until you've hit the rest of the stuff. You're supposed to end on that, and that's the big opening thing, and then the host comes out. But guess what? We talk about so many things, like Amber's work situation, Sean's reunion, Jamie's going exceptionally too long on the intro. And now give it up for your host of the Long Shot, Sean Conroy.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good day, good noon, good night, good dusk, good desk. Welcome to the Long Shot. I am your host. My name is Sean Conroy. With me today, a man who spends plenty of time in his car talking on the phone. Jamie Flam is here.
That's true.
Okay. And also with us tonight, the ray of sunlight at the end of the rainbow, Miss Amber Kenny is here.
Hello.
Lucky. I just sit in my car.
Talk on the phone.
Well, no, you drove up and I went down to get you guys.
And he was like, buy, sell.
Well, yeah, he was in his car on the phone and it's like 12 degrees out. And
it's cold.
I was standing there waiting for a minute. And Andrew very kindly said, and I was not silently waiting. I was like, what the fuck is he doing in his car? And Andrew said he was on his phone. And Andrew very kindly said, if you want to go upstairs, I can wait for him. But, you know,
I apologize. It was an unexpected phone call. The timing wasn't great. It added a pall to my appearance on this podcast. And
not
a great call.
Do you want to?
Talk about it. It's no one's dying. There's nothing major that a human like myself can't navigate through.
It was a prank call.
He's like, my refrigerator is not running. Yeah, yeah.
But apparently,
he's just this whole time going, is my refrigerator running? Do I need to go catch it?
But I'm gonna have to go and get a new fridge tomorrow. Anyway, I apologize.
So you got to shake that off a little bit.
I think just elevating my voice just now just helped. Took me out of it. Yeah.
Huh.
I did yoga, hot yoga. I've been doing yoga with Adrian, the YouTube videos for the last month. And then the last 2 days I didn't do it for the first time. And I felt myself slipping. Like this could easily just become 3 more months of me. So I was like, I got to actually go to a physical.
Two days could lead to 3 months.
That's how it's happened every time. Mm-hmm. And so I went to this hot yoga and it was intense and I sweat so much, but I'm like pure exhausted. I think I'm gonna actually sleep really well tonight. Mm. So that's the energies I'm bringing.
Where did you go to hot yoga?
Earth's Power Yoga.
Where
is it?
It's on Fairfax and Melrose. It's
like, oh, right. You're kind of a West Side person.
That's not West Side.
Fairfax.
West Side.
I think to me, La Cienega is more of a divine line. Yeah. Interesting thing that's called Earth's Power Yoga. And it's been about 3 years since I was there. The founder, his name is Stephen Metz, M-E-T-Z. And today, as I was looking.
Meet the Metz.
I was looking through the class offerings for the day, and he goes now by Stephen Earth.
Oh, wow.
And I took the class.
See, that would immediately make me go, I am not going anywhere near this place. If a guy changes his name from Metz to Earth because he named his place Earth's Power Yoga.
So
no,
it's his power.
You. It's his power.
Oh, that it did seem a little bit.
Egotistical.
See, if it was called Metz Power Yoga, I'd be more into it. You know,
because you like baseball.
No, I just like people named Metz.
He's a big Mets fan.
I'm not a Marv Thronberry guy.
They just escaped. And part of the reason I like that place is it's
Rusty
dark.
Rusty Staub.
Mm-hmm. It's dark and hot. And
Tom Seaver.
They project scapes on the. I'm sure I talked about it years ago. So it's like,
what's a scape?
They have projectors.
Great
so it's
question.
Like, thank you. I remember having this exact conversation on the podcast.
Oh, look, escape.
think I know, but I want to hear you say.
Just a projector. And so like you look up and it's like a lunar wonderland.
So they do the whole yoga thing in a escape room.
Oh boy.
They do. Yes. Yes.
And you can't get out for an hour.
No. Although I did go into child's pose a couple of times to, because I could not keep up.
Uh-huh. And the whole hot yoga thing, turns out the guy who started all that is a serial sexual harasser,
yes.
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, not up on that news. Who started it?
Just some douchebag. It's not at all true to the origins of yoga. It was like some guy in the 90s in like, Los Angeles. Calories,
yeah. Some right? bullshit guru. And he used to be doing his hot yoga, and he'd be there in his underwear, and he'd be like, okay, let's have these two students come up and massage me while I instruct the class to, you know, I forget the guy's name, but he's like a multimillionaire at this point, and he's on the lam, as they used to say in Dick Tracy comics, from the law.
Oh.
Because these women were like, this guy did all this shit, you know?
Not mm-hmm. cool.
So I hope you had a great time, Jamie.
Oh, great. I mean, there was no foul play that I could tell.
Did Mr. Earth touch you in any way?
It wasn't Mets. It was another guy.
I mean, if he was on the lam, he was in plain sight tonight.
Yeah, what the fuck was that guy's name? He's like a famous dude with like a yeah, I forget his name. All right. Anyway, this is a part of the show that we like to call checking in.
I thought you were going to say parting shots.
So did I, and then I changed my mind. But no, this is a part of the show that we like to call checking in. So why don't we start today? Well, let's start with Jamie. Why not?
That's
all you had?
No, well, we left on Saturday.
Right.
I left to go host my nephew's elementary school talent show.
Jeff was following you on Instagram and was delighted and shocked and confused. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what Jamie does. Like
in the last year, I have not like used Instagram, my personal account, very much. Let alone the stories, Instagram stories.
What does that mean, Instagram stories? I don't understand that.
Everyone has a feed, and so you can much quicker, and then there's animation stuff. You can put you have a better
describe it at all. So Instagram, if you post something on regular OG Instagram,
right.
You're posting a picture there. It's going to be there forever in that vein. And people can see it whenever they want if they go to your
You're page. Leaving a digital footprint.
Correct. The story is more in the vein of a Snapchat where you're putting something up and people will see it and then it will go away.
Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do that?
Because some content, it's like fun to let people know that you're doing it or that it's happening, but it's not a forever content quality issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then some people have such a good story that they download it and make it a regular Instagram. I don't really use stories.
So you can put it up, see what people's reaction is, mm-hmm. then download it to regular Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
That seems very confusing.
It feels like even more pressure to constantly do things, but this seemed like a good opportunity to capture it as it was happening in real time.
And in theory, people are seeing it more real time. The regular Instagram, it's now more like Facebook, so it's algorithm. So I might see what you posted 3 days.
You ever meet that guy, algorithm?
I knew.
How you doing, folks? Algorithm.
So if you post something 3 days ago, with just the likes and the way my feed is, I might get it tomorrow morning,
mm-hmm.
but it's new to me.
Right.
But the stories are pretty much in chronological order. So a lot of comics we'll talk about. I'm doing a show tonight because you know people are seeing it. If they're right looking at it, it's that day.
Right.
This became an e-seminar.
I don't even use it.
No. It's good. I need to know all this stuff. No, I was at a cafe yesterday.
Mm.
Thank you. And
okay.
I love Jamie's insincere playing along kind of things.
Mm, like, cafe.
I was at
it
a cafe.
Smells like a cafe in here.
Yeah. We have cafe candles. Oh. No, I was at this cafe and I'm waiting to order, and this guy in a fedora is like 12 feet away, and he just looks at me and he's like, kind of nodding and winking. Like, did you ever see the movie Johnny Dangerously?
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole scene where everybody's nodding at each other until Joe Piscopo finally goes, no, or somebody goes, no more nodding. Like, they're all nodding at each other and everything. And the Sting where they signal each other. Anyway, this guy is clearly,
but you're like, what are you saying
he's
to me?
Signaling me. He's like,
yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? So I just kind of waved to him. And then I went and sat down, and as he was leaving, he came over and it turns out he had been to see ASCAT a bunch of times, and he was like, you know, you're so funny and you're amazing and you're so talented.
I
can't remember everything. Everything he said. But anyway, then I go on, and so I talked to him for a second, and then I go on my Instagram, and there's like a bunch of old photos have been liked. I was like, who the fuck is liking? And it was him.
Fedora,
like, he had gone through my whole Instagram feed, and
it's always a little creepy.
Well, and you know, when people are doing that, they just want you to know that
they're paying attention.
Yeah.
Do you know,
they're trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm. With our Dynasty typewriter, we're seeing that people have tricks. There's some people, they will update every time you update your description or like your caption, it goes back at the top of whoever's tagged in its feed. So we see like some people like, how, there's no way you're still updating this caption from 2 weeks ago. And then another thing is we see there's a few people, they'll unfollow us and then follow us every few days.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
what's the point of that?
So you, the more chance that you'll just notice them and go to their profile, and that's what I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Weird.
Or you're just trying to follow people and don't realize that they keep on accidentally doing it.
But wouldn't they have to unfollow to then?
Yeah, but if they have a bot. Then...
All right. Oh, well, let's not.
Wait, I lost you. I guess maybe we shouldn't go into that. But what about the captions?
So if you write up, if you. You're like,
I thought
I
see sometimes
and
Jamie
then
says things
something.
And I get confused and I just gloss over it.
All right. Let me,
so you want to dig in? Let's dig in.
So you both posted a picture of us on Saturday.
Correct.
We both.
And if you tagged me,
I did.
And then you were like, another fun day at L Longshot HQ. And then
did not say that.
I think that was you for sure. No. And then the next day you go into the edit that post and you put,
a very,
God,
very
Saturday.
Good day.
Yes, a very, very good day at Longshot HQ.
You changed the original caption.
Yeah. It goes and back to the top of your feed.
Because I was tagged in it. Yeah, it would go to the top of my feed. Not my feed, but my, where I'm like, just a, you press on the heart and you can see like the people that are following you, the people that are liking what you've posted.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. The heart, the little heart thing where the it says you got this
but
many
not,
likes, you got this
but
many
not
dislikes.
In your tagged photos.
I think it exists there and it's just there. I'm just talking about on the heart. So just like, you're like, oh, I want to check in. It says you have like 4 likes.
Oh,
and
but
follows.
It's still the same.
And it's just, you've been, they just updated their caption. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So what else, Jamie, besides what's on the heart?
I thought it was.
So I was just bringing that up because I was, I had so much fun again. Hosting a children's talent show. This is my number
125 acts or something crazy.
No, that was just joking. Like every time
I was like,
the number was,
who is producing this fucking show?
There was probably,
you're changing the number in the caption every day, right?
Oh, that's how it's at the top of my feed.
125, six.
It went all the way up to 48. Like 1, something. No, there's probably 60 or somewhere between 45 and 60 acts.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. And just
is it because they just say no?
What's
no
the
one.
Bar? Yeah. What's the, you know, how do you get turned down from this talent show?
Not being in elementary school.
I think if you go to the elementary school, you're in. But I was blown away. It's a new generation of what these kids are doing. I mean, your typical dancers, singers.
All right.
Blah, 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 blah.
But then you had your insanely amazing dancers. No, but there was a kid that did parkour demonstration. Two kids, demonstrated making food, which I love that
is
it is a talent, but it's like, I don't remember that.
I think that's a weird way to say that. Two kids demonstrated making food.
They shefted
up. I am
up.
From Earth.
Exactly.
Demonstrated what?
Cooking
demonstration.
Oh, yeah, cooking demonstration.
There's a verb.
It's late. What else was there?
Well, Jeff showed me an Instagram story of a kid like beating a really big drum.
Oh, taiko drumming?
Yeah.
That was insanely cool. A kid made a typically like a science fair, like a volcano they would make erupt. He was so funny. He's like, and now we're adding a vinegar or something. I don't know. And then, you know, the volcano exploded.
Sounds like he really nailed that we're adding vinegar joke.
There was a better joke to it. And then my nephews.
What could it possibly be?
there's maybe four magic acts, including my two nephews did.
Aww.
And one of my nephews.
What trick did they do?
Daly did, like, you asked someone in the audience for a dollar bill. He's like, the higher the better. Ah. And then he puts
vinegar.
But he put a pen through it. And I still don't know how he did it. And you're like, he just put a hole through that bill. And then he gives it back. But I have a friend named Taylor Hughes. Maybe you know him. He's a magician that does the Magic Castle. Who I asked, I was like, would you mind calling my nephews? They're doing magic, and just give them a little pep talk. And he gave them a couple of jokes to do.
Oh, no. About vinegar?
Nothing to do with vinegar. So he's like, it's like my mom, like, he's like, Daly's like, when my mom liked the trick so much, she let me keep the 20. And that's when he's setting up. And then he gives the bill back and he's like, did you like the trick? To the random guy in the audience who gave him the $20 bill. And he's like, I did. And he's like, did you like it as much as my mom? It was really cute.
How old is he?
14.
18. He's 7 now, probably. And so.
It's wild.
It was just so much fun. And it's like, you would have loved this, but the principal who hosted it last time, who was really bad at it. But he
I love how Jamie is judging other people's ability to host an elementary school talent show.
Well, part of the thing was, and I got so many parents came up to me after and like, thank you so much for just keeping it going.
Wow.
Like when there's that many acts, like.
No, yeah, there's not a lot of filler you need.
So quick little jokes, boom, 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 keep the show rolling.
You used some of your quick jokes?
Well, I had the entire school. They posted like submit jokes. The kids could submit jokes. And at the very top of the.
They posted it?
I had my sister like posted the class. Or I don't know how she posted it. It might have just been an announcement at the top of class.
She had the town crier go classroom to classroom.
So I had this, they printed out like, you know, 30 jokes on a piece of paper. And at the top of the show, he introduced me. He's like, we have a professional comedian. And I was like, no. Let's,
he couldn't make it. I'm here instead.
I was like, let's manage the expectations.
So vinegar, huh? So you read the kids' jokes. I bet they were adorable.
They were cute, but I actually called out the few ones and got some laughs. I was like, you guys could do better. It was like, something about cheese and nacho cheese is the punchline.
Whose cheese is this? It's nacho cheese.
That's kind of.
Yeah. I love, this is great that you just ripped on these kids.
Did it make you feel like a big
man? You know, the principal sucked. I'm here now. Nice
jokes,
asshole. Yeah.
It was well received. But I told them like, you if the show sucks, it's on you as parents because your kids submit these jokes. Put the pressure on them. Anyway, that was a really fun thing. And they gave me a box.
How long did it take?
I thought it was started at 4 and it was like, this is not going to end till like 7 or 7:30, but kept it going. I think it was done by 6:30 at the very latest.
Nice.
You thought it was going to be done by 7. It was done by 6:30.
Honestly, a pleasant surprise to have 30 minutes back.
And
so would you do that on a regular basis if you could?
Yeah.
Is that your calling, is being a children's MC for children's talent shows?
That's how I
thought. Is that the level you are seeking in your career?
As a comic, I mean, I'm not a comic anymore, I wouldn't say, but
anymore?
I had some years, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Some real strong years where I got paid a lot of money to be a comedian.
Really?
Not true. No, but now I think I am easing into it where, yeah, I like that. That's fun. It is a low pressure environment to have some fun. That sounded creepy. So putting it out there, if you got a talent show, and I'll do adult talent shows too.
Is there such a thing?
The Gong Show.
Yeah, but I mean, besides TV shows.
It seemed like it was more of a thing in the 70s. Like, they're always like the bands, like you can save, raise enough money through that thing if you win the Battle of the Bands or the talent competition.
But that's just Battle of the Bands. That's not, you know.
I feel like the Brady Bunch, like they were, if they won the talent competition.
But those were kids. You're not winning this argument.
No, it was like, was it not the whole bunch? Mm-mm. Meaning, no.
The okay. Parents don't do it.
Florence, wasn't that the name of the maid?
No, Florence Henderson was the name
Flo?
Of
the what was the what no, was the maid's name?
Alice.
Cruise
ships.
Cruise ships?
So Jamie wants to be a children's
I am an MC
for children's talent shows.
That is my checking in, and I had a lot of fun.
That's good.
I feel like that's like a weird, that's like one step away from being a pedophile.
It's hard not to instantly go there, but here's the good news. I'm not.
That's exactly what a pedophile is.
Congratulations.
I was not sexually aroused, but once.
So what else, Jamie?
What else? You know, there's a lot of these shifting things going on.
What does that mean?
There's the phone call.
What kind of shifting things? You're talking about like the tides?
That's part of it. The
tectonic plates.
That's another part of it. No, I think I talked about it on the last one. Like overall in this very exciting place where I think things are developing at work and then navigating the other parts.
What are you talking about?
You
can't just come in here and do sound effects.
Trying to balance relationships and other stuff like that. Can the
relationships are hard, man.
Really hard.
Yeah. Not easy.
No. Any tips?
Tips? Get out. Pull up. Pull the ripcord.
Oh, get out of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I wish it was that easy.
That eliminates all problems.
But then there's regrets. Did you give it enough of a shot?
Right.
Was it all me? Has it always been all me?
Right.
I keep coming back to that.
So that's it?
Yeah, I think that's all I got. Talent show, baby.
That's a good sound.
Oh, let me just think for a second.
More sounds.
If there's any other talents worth...
Just take your time. Think about it.
There was the taiko drummer. We talked about that.
Any singers?
There were some singers.
What did they sing?
It was mostly like, I didn't know. Like,
have you seen this show on, I don't know what network it's on. It was on after the Super Bowl, hosted by James, what's his name? Corden? What's that guy's name? The late night host?
James Corden.
Corden mm-hmm. hosted this show where it was like, I don't know if it was like international performers and they got voted on by American judges and then by international judges. And did you see any of that?
No.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is it was a talent show and he could not have been more thrilled at every act. Like it was just, I wasn't even really watching it. It was just on because I had been watching the Super Bowl and he just was so fucking excited about every single, I don't believe it. It was unbelievable. That was amazing. I can't believe how wonderful. That was absolutely wonderful. Like every fucking act was the greatest thing he had ever seen. And it just made me really happy because I realized that there are so many great, you know, so many great performers, you know.
That's a great way to take that. There are so many great performers.
That's not how I took it.
I know.
Was there anyone that like was particularly bad that you thought got a...
No, the one that I did not... I didn't even see it. It was just on. I could hear it the whole time. And it was like, you know, this is the way they do these shows now. It was just loud and there was lots of music and people yelling and this and that. And
like hyper-produced.
Hyper-produced, exactly, is a great way to put it. And And the one that I noticed that they were not into, I don't know what he, I'm sure he was like, that was wonderful, absolutely amazing. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. I've never seen anything like that. Was a sword swallower. Have you ever seen a sword swallower?
Yeah.
It is disgusting.
It really is.
It's it insane. Is so gross. I actually saw somebody do sword swallowing at a, what's that place down on Santa Monica where the
Magic Opals?
Bar Lubitsch. That little room in the back. So
we recorded a podcast.
The guy was like 15 feet away doing the sword swallowing, and he puts the sword down his throat and then he pulls it out and it's just covered in like bile and saliva. And
you're like, let's get nachos.
Yeah, like disgusting. And I think that's what happened on this hyper produced show. Was that everybody was a little distressed that this guy had put this sword down his throat and was now grossing everybody out by pulling it out with half his stomach still attached.
Who did that the first time?
A very hungry person.
A pirate.
That's ridiculous.
A very hungry pirate. That sounds like a good children's
book. It does.
A very hungry pirate.
Once upon a time, there was a very hungry pirate.
I think it's crazy that pirates are something that kids are into. Like, I keep thinking about it lately, and I keep trying to communicate this to people, and they don't 100% get it. But, like, they're just robbers.
They're worse than that, even. They're, like, they just go around killing people and raping people.
And people are like, I like them. Let's dress up like that. But
there's a lot of accoutrement. That's
it's
the thing.
It's a good look.
Like,
the stripes.
You got your parrot. You got your eye patch. You got your peg leg.
Exist.
You got your weird hat. You got your hook hand.
Right.
You got your cutlass. You got your sash.
Right.
You got your kerchief. You know, it's a whole.
And why do you give kids like a stuffed?
Why do you give kids what?
A stuffed teddy bear.
A stuffed teddy bear.
It's the same sort of thing. Like, they're really violent.
Well. I don't know. I think pirates are in a class by themselves.
Well, and you'll have a pirate themed birthday party. Like, you don't have a bank robber themed.
Although that would be fun.
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
Bandit.
But I'm sorry.
Cowboy.
See, it's happening again. Like, I can't.
You worked in a bank. Did you ever have to go to like a security training where what to do in terms
every
of
every single of fucking day
a robbery? They always say, like, give them, you know,
give them everything.
Just give them the money. Like, don't ever whatever. And the bank I worked at was robbed once. I was not there when it happened. The guy came up to the counter and gave this woman a note that said, give me all your money. And she just screamed and ran away. So
they're like,
the guy didn't know what to do. And he left the bank.
Oh,
but it was like the worst possible thing you could do, because that's how people.
Quick aside. Three nights ago. This is not a good endorsement for the safety or by the theater, but there's been no incidents. It's obviously it's a changing area. And so, you know, at night there are definitely areas to keep away from, but
I don't know though. I don't know if I agree with that. Like, I definitely feel like there's a stigma on some of those areas, but I always park right down by that
MacArthur Park.
And there's always like lights everywhere, people playing soccer, and you know, even in the middle of the night, there's stuff
going
on.
They play soccer late.
Yeah.
I don't ever feel too, but it's like, it's still like just different areas. It's a very dense neighborhood and keep your wits about you. But right across the street, I was walking Vanessa to her car and we just hear someone yelling, help.
No.
Help, 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 help. And so we're also used to, there's a lot of
Beatles.
The Beatles reunion. There's also a lot of mentally unstable people. So hearing.
I thought you were going to say acting classes.
There are a lot of acting classes in the area.
Help, help,
help.
I need you to help me.
So you hear a lot of screaming sometimes, more so during the day, actually. But and we saw there was a kind of a standoff. This guy was just yelling for help, and it was Saturday night, and there's tons of people out. So it's like immediately everyone's standing in front of the venue and in front of the restaurant, just like, we're like, people started to run to try to help him. But there's a guy, and he must not have had a gun, but was trying to rob him. And so he yelled for help and then took out his phone and like, just the other guy was kind of trying to like do that, but he was getting his picture, just taking his picture on his phone. And God bless him. I don't know.
I don't think I'd have the wits about me to do any of that. I just would have been like, here's the money. Like, see you later.
I was robbed obviously once and with a gun and there's no one around and I was not going to yell help or anything. But yeah, I was really impressed that he did that without hesitating. My guess is that there was no gun involved. It was just like, give me your money. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're going to rob somebody, you got to be prepared, you know?
Have a gun.
You got to have overwhelming force. Yeah. Because otherwise, they're just going to take your picture and then, you know.
They'll say, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't think, my guess, it just didn't seem like he was out to rob people. He was just like walking down the street and saw an opportunity.
Huh.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
You miss all the
strike
shots
while the iron is hot. Yeah, yeah. You miss 100% of the robberies you don't rob.
That's true.
All right, I'll go next. Obviously, we just met a couple days ago, so not a lot has gone on since then. But I did get an email on, or I guess it was a, yeah, it was an email on Saturday from a high school classmate of mine who was in town. And said, I'm in town, we're going out, come, you know, meet us. So I went, and I went out with two of my high school classmates who I had not seen in over 15 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
So they haven't been, oh, you've been going to the college reunions, right?
College not I've been going school. To, not high school. The last high school reunion I went to, so funny, I went to my 20th high school reunion. So that's 15 years ago. And I was dating a girl who was 24 at the time. And she came with me to the reunion. That was super weird. People were like high-fiving me in the bathroom and stuff.
Nice. Piss.
Nice. She was.
It's unrelated to the girl.
But I have not been back there since then, because that was right when I, that was right before I moved out here, and I have not gone back for any of them since then. One of the guys that was out on Saturday night, I knew lived out here. I'd seen him a few times since I moved out here, but then we just kind of lost track of each other, and I looked and I did not have his number in my phone. I've had the same phone forever, so I don't know how I lost him. But it was great. It was great to see those guys. But it was definitely weird. It was.
What did you guys do?
We just went to the guy was staying down in Chinatown, and we went to a bar nearby and just hung out at this bar. And
were there a lot of lanterns?
Not noticeably. I mean, there were.
I've been to one bar there, and there was like a shit ton of lanterns. Some different part.
But we just taught, you know, it's funny. You get together with people, you get together with people like that, and you're just like, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this guy? Like, we're just talking right. about all the people we went to school with. And one of the guys, he was like the captain of the football team and, you know, friends with everybody. And he's still friend. Like, he knows what's going on in everybody's life and stuff like that. Yeah. And I was like, I'm really not in touch with anybody at this point. Like, I have not kept up with anyone from high school.
I feel like high school's tough stuff.
Yeah, definitely. For me, it definitely was.
No, but I mean, even, and maybe I'm rationalizing, but like, I haven't maintained. There's people that I still know, and if we saw each other, we'd be excited to see each other, but I haven't maintained close relationships, I don't think, with anybody from high school, really. Mm-hmm. I have a ton of friends from college.
Right. Well, I mean, I yeah, it was just weird because I was like, it made me just think about that, you know, mm-hmm. about the fact that there I was in school with these guys for 4 years. And I would say I had two close friends in high school. I have not kept up with those guys. And hadn't kept up with anybody really. And then, you know, to all these guys. And it also makes you think about, like, who was I back then? Like, I actually almost texted those guys today because I wanted to say, one of the guys subscribed to the podcast. He was like, I don't understand. How do you subscribe to podcasts? It's like, subscribe me to your podcast. So I did.
Subscribe me to your podcast.
So I did while we were sitting there. But
our numbers are up then
by one. So we've gone up 50%.
Wait. Rate and review.
Yeah. But
also wait.
But like, I wanted to text them and say, like, just out of curiosity. And I was not like I said, I had two close friends in high school, so I wasn't close with these guys, but I played football with them, and one of them was in my Greek class, and one of them I definitely knew from freshman year, because I remember him and another guy sitting me down freshman year. So freshman year of high school, I'm 13 years old, and him and his friend, who were a year older because they were normal aged kids, but way more mature than I was, sat me down freshman year. I don't know if it was like a study hall or something, but for some reason we were just sitting at this table, and I very distinctly remember them both acting astonished that I was 13 years old and I had never had sex with a girl.
Oh,
they could not putting believe on it. Airs.
No, I don't think so. But it was totally inappropriate. And of course, that drove me crazy for the next 5 years until I actually did have sex with somebody where right. I was like, I'm the only one, you know, it really fucked me up.
Yeah.
But 13, that's.
Yeah, of course.
A baby.
Of course. Of course it is. But I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, and they said it was totally normal. Like, why would you not have had sex by now? And of course, I didn't for quite some time after that. And it really fucked me up. Anyway, I was going to text them and say, like, first of all,
I've had sex
turned
twice.
Guess what?
You're welcome. If you want any tips. But I just to say, like, you guys have known me since I was 13 years old. Would you have expected me to spend 30 years of my adult life as a stand-up and improv comedian? Was that how you would have seen my life going when I was a kid? And if not, how would you have seen it going?
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
You know? Because I don't know. Like, I just, you know how you see other people, but you don't know how other people see you, you know? And like, I feel like I was always like a fucking wise ass, you know, asshole when I was in school, but I have no idea what other people thought. I know in college, when I played rugby, I got the Theater Fag Award and the...
Doesn't hold up.
It was a different time. I got the time. Guy Who Looks Good in Blackface Award.
No.
No. But also the Guy Who Thinks He's Funnier Than Everybody Else Award. So they knew that I was like, you know, whatever. But high school, I just have no idea. And also because I played football with them. And I was so, I mean, I was a little kid, you know, I had just turned 16 and these guys were like 18 years old by then, just way more physically developed than I was. And,
like how and where,
what's that? They had bigger dicks, bigger balls, more hair on their balls, more hair under their arms, you know?
Sure.
No, but you know what I'm saying? There's a big difference between a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old, you know? And so anyway, I just was, all that was running through my mind when I was out with these guys.
What did you think they were going to become?
I was just going to ask that.
Well, one of them, they basically ended up where I would have thought they were. The guy who was captain of the football team got really into, I mean, this is 30 years ago. So it was before it was a thing or before it was like a legal thing. He got really into MMA. He still teaches Brazilian jiu-jitsu and coaches a bunch of fighters and he works security. I mean, he's like a fucking huge guy, you know? And so that's been his whole life has been the fight game basically. And, the other guy is like a IT consultant, you know, and he was in my Greek class. Like he was
a little bit
of a nerd,
original
you know,
IT consultant.
You're missing the point. You had to be real smart to be in the Greek right. class, you know, and he was a bit of a nerd. So didn't shock me that that's kind of the direction that his life took, you know. So anyway, it was just like what, you know. I don't know. It made me think about where I'm at and what I was like back then. And
are you happy with where you're at?
All right. Amber. Parting shots.
Okay, great. I'll take it. No, I wanted to talk about something. We were talking about this last recording, and I was purposely not bringing it up because I'm superstitious, and I still am, so I'm hesitant to talk about it right now.
Seven-year itch?
No. I actually got a callback for a commercial, and I'm on a veil, and but I had to record another audition, and I had to turn it in by 10 a.m. this morning, and it needed to be in a kitchen. And you guys have been in my apartment, but not all the listeners have. It's not a very big apartment.
Small.
The kitchen is notably small.
Very small.
And so to frame it the way they needed it to be framed, like they needed the slate full body and then the scene waist up, but in a kitchen doing stuff. We had to move all of the furniture in our apartment, the couch, the tables, the chairs. We cheated it where I was basically facing out. I was in the kitchen, but I was facing out.
Oh, yeah. You can cheat it. You can just cheat it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your eye line, you can cheat it. Cheat the eye line.
And I was standing on yoga blocks because I'm so short.
Hot yoga blocks?
No, just regular. Because the counter was... The counter's like
too high. It was up to your chest.
Yes. So I was standing up. It was like just ridiculous. If you had walked into my apartment for this easy filmed callback, like it looked like we were moving out. We had to rearrange everything. It was such a pain in the ass.
What did you film it with?
iPhone. No big deal. But we'll see. It'd be so nice. But it's kind of like a win-win.
Congratulations. Yeah. Were we just talking about that on Saturday?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I was like, ugh. I literally never get callbacks. I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's something I'm doing. I know we talked about
I figuratively never get callbacks.
But I know that commercials are mostly, like we talked about, what just... You looking the part or not looking the part. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I get so fucking nervous.
Right.
And wound up. And even when I'm trying to not and like I talk myself down, I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't cast me. Like my energy is so fucking off-putting right now. Right.
Well, my thing is whenever I go into those situations, I always, you know, it's like and this is the same thing with any meetings I go to or whatever. And I'm trying to be better about it. I treat it as though I'm meeting my parents' friends. I'm like, hi, how do you do? Nice to meet you. Right. How do you do? Not, instead of just being like what's up, person. Fuckers? Yeah. You know?
I mean, you could split the difference.
Well, I don't know why. Why though? You know?
Hello, fuckers.
Well, and they...
How do you do, fuckers?
I know of this intellectually... But for some reason, I still have
not in your bones.
I have a physical response. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, this doesn't matter. Don't care. But I'm like shaking like a leaf. So I need to get hypnotized or something. But the other thing is,
hello, I am here for the audition.
I know intellectually that they just want to see you be you. That's what they want. Like, and you either fit or you don't.
It's funny. I have a friend who always talks about how she was in a comedy group in the 90s with Artie Lang. And she's like, Artie books everything he ever auditions for.
Because he doesn't give a fuck.
Because he just goes in and he's just fucking Artie, you know? Right. Like, well, he's just himself.
I think I get myself bound up in knots. It's like the people pleaser in me. Because I'm trying so hard to be what I think they want me to be.
Right.
Which... isn't authentically me, A, and B, probably not even what they're looking for. So I'm just like being bizarre.
Right.
So that's fun.
Yeah. You don't want to be bizarre when you go in for those things.
What kind of ad is it?
It's, I don't know. I don't want to talk.
Can you say your line?
No. It's little. It's nothing. It's just
hi.
Exciting.
Welcome to my kitchen. This is where I do a lot of making food.
Well, and it's for like haggard mom. And I was telling Jeff, I was like, does it turn you on that I look like a haggard mom?
Haggard just, mom?
It's kinda. Called acting,
like it was,
Amber.
It was like low income mom with a dirty hair. And I was like, I can do that.
This is a shampoo commercial.
It is not. But
it's an income commercial.
Oh, I think the reason I got a callback is it was a self-tape audition altogether.
And so there was nobody else there.
Well, my friend Alyssa at work helped me film it the first time. I don't think you do.
No, I don't.
But she makes me very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I could just do this all the time. Anyway.
Yeah, the only time I ever booked a commercial, I don't remember what I had. I had some show that night and I had to drive from, we had like a tech rehearsal and I had to drive from the tech rehearsal all the way over to the callback in a whole, like in Culver City or something, and then drive back for the show. And I was just so pissed. I was like, why am I doing this? This is bullshit. What the fuck am I doing? Yeah, like this is so pointless and I'm just irritated and whatever. And of course that was the one that I booked, you know?
Right. But it's like this weird Zen and the Art of Archery thing. I just wanted to say that.
It's an archery commercial.
But where you have to not give a shit, but not give a shit so that you can get it. Because that's still giving a shit. Like, you can't out trick the zen of it.
Right.
You have to actually not give a shit.
You can't out trick the zen.
You're making fun of me, but I made a good point.
Yeah. No, you can't out trick
like
the zen.
End of a quill. Mm-hmm. Quill?
Sure.
The quill is the arrow?
Yep. A quill is an arrow.
And what's the bunch of arrows called?
A quather.
Called a compass. I feel really lucky though too, because my direct manager at work, he is an actor. Like, he dabbles.
No, one of those guys.
And he's very good. But I could just be like, hey, I'm on avail for this. Is it okay if I take this day off? And he's like, yeah, it's fucking awesome. I'm really excited for you. Like, I don't have to.
He's like, yeah, that's really awesome. I'm happy for you. Gotta find my corner of the sky.
No, but I've had situations.
I just see him like dancing off.
Where I've had to like lie or like hide tap dance around. And it's like, I prefer
Amber, stop tap dancing.
To just be honest about that.
You can't out tap dance the zen.
Because I don't know. My coworkers are very, some of them are very strange. They like lie about weird things.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Okay. I had.
Jinx.
This is a long time ago, but this is more.
No self-service.
It.
They got burritos over in the rec room. There's not a rec room or burritos.
It's a weird lie.
I came here on the Mayflower.
No, this is. This happened a really long time ago. It's when I first started working there, but it's the type of lie that they tell. Where
I know they're getting rid of the letter P, right?
No, I had jury duty, so I couldn't come to work because I had jury duty. Right. And I'm like, I'm allowed to have jury duty. Right. It's like a legal thing. I can go to jury duty. This is a thing. And my supervisor at the time told everyone I was sick, which I was like, that's weird. It's weird to tell people I'm sick. That's a weird lie.
Sick of the American justice system.
Like, I was like, no, I had jury duty. Like, I don't understand. Like, if she has to miss work, she'll lie.
Sorry, guys. Amber's sick. She's not going to be here.
What I mean is.
Why, it's good old reliable Nathan.
What I mean is, when she has to miss work, she'll lie about why in her head for reasons that sound more respectable. But everyone knows she's lying. Like, just be honest. Mm. It's weird to me.
I think that's a good way to go through life. Just be honest, you know?
Yeah. It's tough.
Tough stuff.
What?
Amber's not going to make it. She was in a car accident.
Like, what?
One singular sensation every little time she did.
I'm David Dabbler. I'm losing it.
What else, Amber?
What else? What else? What else?
You want some of mine?
Yeah. Could I read?
I thought you used up all yours, Jamie.
I think I used them all up on Saturday.
Soho House? Did you go to the Soho House?
I did. Well, do you want to talk about that? Tell us about that.
I've been to the Soho House.
Have you?
It is wild. Having some time removed from working at the bank is there's like, I lived this strange double life where there's a lot of really fancy, nice restaurants and places that I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there. And just like, what the fuck? But I would go with my boss for a lunch meeting or
when you were working at the bank.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's not far from where the bank
was. But now I'm a normal again.
Do you know what the Soho House is?
You're asking me if I know what the Soho House is? Yes, I do.
Okay. Have you been?
Why don't you explain it? I'll see if you're right.
He doesn't know.
No, I know it's like a private club and like a restaurant.
You can't even get in the elevator without being on the list or having a membership.
Amber's car got hit by a meteor. Memory. All alone in the moonlight.
That's really funny. Amber's car got hit by a meteor. She won't be in for 3 days.
Depending on
well, she has
if
to fix
it goes
the car.
Into appeals.
Yes.
And then he just dances away.
They got to take the meteor out of the car.
The room where it happens.
Oh, yeah. How's your eye? It looks way better.
Oh, it's the and cream started to work.
Tell us about Soho House, Jamie.
Oh, I don't even know what I was going to say, but
how'd you get in?
So someone we all know that's a listener of this podcast got a membership. I don't know if she would want it to be a secret or not, but
I know exactly.
A wink, wink.
Don't say anything.
So she, and I guess if you're a member, you can always bring up to 4 guests. And I didn't know what to expect. I was expecting straight up Hollywood
douchebags.
You got so
that's our second little jinx in as much minutes, as they say.
No one.
Hot yoga.
But we went to
thank you.
Just work. I went with Vanessa, and we felt pretty out of place. But it's like 3 restaurants that are beautiful. One of them was enchanting as fuck. Like big trees. Do you know that?
I don't know that.
Trees in the restaurant. and everywhere you look, well, it's to me that the most famous person I saw, I don't know if I'm breaking the rules of Soho House, but I'm not a member.
Amber got stuck in a tree at Soho House.
She'll be there.
Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the cabaret.
The main guy from the movie Juice was sitting there.
Tupac Shakur.
Well, yeah, Tupac.
Wow. Wow. You buried the lead.
He is alive.
That is.
Machiavelli.
That would have been my better checking in than the children's talent show. No, the other guy.
Who's done nothing since Juice.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like he did a couple of things. But I would just say it was so beautiful. There was a screening room where we worked and there was no one else in there. And it was just these big, posh, beautiful chairs and like little lamps.
Big chairs, little lamps.
Jamie Flint story.
In 3 parts.
So great when you have a big chair and a little lamp.
I really do love
it. You get real comfortable. You get very comfortable and then you peer. You just peer at things.
I do love that aesthetic. Mm. It's what I've always looked for in a place to work. I've been on like 2 or 3 cruises in my life, and there's always a big room with big chairs, little lamps, and there's rarely people. And so I'm like, I live in Los Angeles. There's got to be a place where this exists. And
it's the Soho House.
It's the Soho House. But what I'll say is, and I found out they don't let in like agents, like
so you can't
no
be
industry
like,
bullshit.
You can't be rubbing elbows.
I think it's a rule. You cannot wear a suit. Which I appreciated, but there was an elevated, it was like everyone there was doing stuff. Like you couldn't help but feel like it just elevated my like own ambition. Somehow I was like, I'm in the same place where everyone here is in a power meeting and working on creative stuff. And, I don't know if I could go there all the time, but it was a good feeling.
So are you going back?
Well, I would like to go back. And this person said I could join them whenever. I'm sure the invitation could be extended. And I
apparently not
talk to her.
Apparently not.
But they're opening one downtown. It's like maybe because we don't have a proper office where we work. So maybe that would be a thing in 6 months when it opens.
Isn't it expensive?
It's less expensive. If you have your own office and go there, it's expensive. But it's first you have to get accepted.
How do you do that? Do you have to?
I don't know.
Interview?
You probably have to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. It's a self tape in your kitchen.
That's it's a self tape kitchen situation, and then you have to be on a veil for weeks.
Amber's not going to be in today. She self-taped herself. Potiphar had very few cares. He was one of Egypt's millionaires.
What song is that?
It's from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
It's a deeper cut.
So you're going to go back, Jamie?
We'll see. Not in the
Did you get a lot
future.
Done?
Not so much. It would end up becoming more about the lunch.
Right.
We just ate an expensive lunch. It was delicious.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, this feels like a good place to take a... No, did you have something else?
No.
Okay. Feels like a good place to take a break, so let's do that. We'll be back in a moment with more stuff. We are back. You are listening to The Long Shot. It is a podcast. It is time for a segment on the show that we like to call... parting shots. So, by the way, we should say this. Joe Wagner is not here.
I keep forgetting.
He is if you haven't coaching noticed. Sketch.
And now, Joe, what about you? What's going on? He's been sitting here the whole time.
Well, I was at a late night restaurant and some girl tried to make out with me.
Oh. All right. I'll go first. This is a package that came here probably almost 2 months ago, addressed to Lo Sho Po, care of Sean Conroy. It is from our good friend Phil, and I always am uncertain of how to say his last name, either Arsenault or Arsenault, who I met when I was in Vancouver last year, and he's been a listener for a long time. A fan of the show. So he sent us something all wrapped up. And let's see what it is.
Let's talk about this knife that you own.
I know.
That is a scary ass knife.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
What if there's a knife in there? This is a knife.
Wow.
Oh, he sent us. It looks like Canada keychains.
That have our names on them.
Oh, they do. Holy shit.
That's so kind.
This is awesome. I'm always looking for
a Canada keychain.
Stuff that has to do with Canada. I think he came from Nova Scotia originally and now lives in Vancouver. So there's Sean, Amber. Joe is coaching sketch.
Literally.
And Jamie.
Aww.
Very cool. Thank you, Phil.
That's so nice.
What
Thank
are
you,
on
Phil.
It?
Let's see. There's a note in here.
Read it. Read it.
It says, happy birthday. You are special. Number one. Cute. Happy ninth anniversary, Lo Sho Po.
Oh my gosh.
Sending love from rainy Vancouver, Philip. Either Arsenault or Arsenault. And Phil, you should let me know how to say your name.
Thank you. There's stickers all over it.
Yeah.
This will
Ratatouille.
When it's my turn, I'll make it my parting shot.
That they're stickers?
Yes.
Damn it.
So will you put this on your keychain?
I will right now.
And will you put it on yours?
I do.
Will I put it on mine? I will.
Time will tell.
It's so cute.
Yeah. It's magnetic.
Oh.
Put it on your fridge or a magnet.
Well, it's so you can put your keys on the wall when you get home if you live in a metal box.
I was going to say.
On your magnet wall.
Put them on your refrigerator.
Right.
That's very cool. I can't believe they have our names on them.
I know. The moose is so cute.
The moose is cute. That is so cute. It's like Bullwinkle got into a little trouble.
That's one of our properties.
Okay, so that's one thing. And then here's the other thing is that I've been doing stuff lately, again, for the millionth time, where I'm doing something that other people are better at than I am. Whether it's exercise, whether it's playing a musical instrument, whatever the case is, there's always people. And I find that difficult to deal with, you know? I'm Same. Like always behind. I'm always behind other people. But I was thinking about this in a very specific context, which I won't get into, but which I will elaborate on after we stop recording. You can't, that's very self-defeating. So what I decided was to just try to keep in mind, and I don't know who said this originally, but I think it's a good, I think it's a good thing to keep in mind, especially when you're, because when you're a kid and you're just learning how to do things, you kind of don't give a fuck. You know, you're like, ah, nobody knows what they're doing. I'm just figuring this out. I'm learning to play the saxophone for the first time or whatever. But as an adult, it's much trickier because you're like, ah, I'm so bad at this. I'm no good. I'm nothing. I'm, you know, so what I'm trying to do is keep in mind that, you know, the idea of start from where you are. That's all you can do, you know, is this is where I am. This is how much I know. There's nothing else I can do, either not do this or do it, but not be filled with self-recrimination.
That's awesome.
That's my thing for today is start from.
Are you starting something new?
I don't want to get into it. All right.
Can't wait.
Amber, parting shots.
Cooking demonstration.
Making food.
A visual representation of
making food.
Parkour demonstrations.
Before I do my actual parting shot, I was telling someone that we've been doing the Lo Show Po for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And
is that what it is? 9 years this February?
I believe so.
Right now.
Yeah.
They kind of fell off their chair and they were like, you might be the longest running pod. And that's for sure not true, mm-hmm. because there's like
WTF.
WTF. But we
up
might
there.
Be
yeah, yeah.
Top five. To, because a lot have like had entire lifespans in our little
smart enough to retire. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I am trying to figure out my time right now with everything going on. And I've mentioned to a couple of people in the last couple of days, like, you know, there's a stress that comes with committing if we're gonna do this or try to do it weekly. And it's like, I don't know if I could do it. And like they're like, well, why don't you just quit? And I was like, this is hard, not just because I enjoy doing it, but this is the longest thing I think I've ever done.
Right.
I do want to make it to 10 years and like that will be a milestone, but like, I don't think I've ever done anything for 10 years, like a creative project like this. And that's, mm-hmm. I'm really proud of it. And mm-hmm. it is like, we've stuck with this thing through major.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's insane. And we're literally at the same table doing the same thing.
Well, that's a whole other crazy thing, which is that I've lived in this apartment longer than I lived in my childhood home.
Wow.
You know, it's fucking nuts.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, so we're going on 9 years and we're going to make it to 10.
One way or another.
Unless a meteor hits my car.
Right, Joe? Oh, wait, Joe's not here.
Cool. I think I thought I literally heard a cricket.
I guess, I don't know. That could have been my parting shot. That
sure.
Counts.
I'll give it to you.
Thanks.
Jamie, parting shots.
So our listener in Vancouver, who's originally from Nova Scotia, Phil Arsenault, he sent us a package recently.
No.
with keychains with our name.
You have nothing.
No, I do have
it. I have nothing.
No, but the letter he sent had stickers on it.
Oh, right.
And so part of my job now.
This was teased.
Part of my job is sending out checks to performers, like for shows. And I've tried to make even the experience of sending the check magical. So now I'll put in like ALF cards or basketball cards, like from 1992 Fleer. I don't know if it was a Fleer. I forgot what the brand.
Does it matter?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. Mm-hmm. But stickers. And I've always had like randomly we'll get stickers, but I actually proactively went last week. The farmer's market has a sticker shop.
Oh, yeah. I know the one.
And just.
It's just rolls upon rolls.
Rolls.
Of and like I went crazy ass
sticker shopping. And then I've been making little, I print out the breakdown.
I wish the entire world could see Sean's face right now.
And Sean, let me tell you, I'm like a little boy out there just peeling them off and putting them on those letters with the printed out breakdown of the things. And I tell you, it's a real hoot. And I gotta recommend go to your local sticker shop.
The fact that you are feeling overwhelmed by a whirlwind because you have to go sticker shopping and stick stickers on checks you're sending out to comics is absurd.
It really is a reality check that I appreciate.
It means your priorities are fucked up.
They've always been fucked up.
You're focusing on the wrong things.
Well, in the context of all the things, I don't know. I think, I don't know if this is the best example. I mean, I stand by the sticker thing. I'm not spending as much time with the stickers as it made it sound. It was one trip and one day a week where I'd apply some
stickers. But I mean, it's not like a comic is sitting at home by their mailbox going, oh, I got a check for $50 from Dynasty Tipwriter, which is great. But there's also a Bill Lambier card in the envelope.
Like a Sam Bowie. I feel like you would know some of these.
Vernon Maxwell, Mad Max, hooray.
That's the era. You got the era.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more, that's like, you know, more like headliners. It's like saying $50 checks. And it's, it doesn't matter at all. Anyway, stickers are fun. And the guy that worked at the store, he's like, your first time in here? I was like, I've walked in a couple times, but first time making a purchase. He's like, yeah, we've been here for like 35 years. My parents opened this. And
that's wild to be in the sticker game in like, 2019.
Amber's not going to make it in. She's stuck in a sticker store. Up a steep and very narrow stairway to a voice like a metronome.
Wow.
What music was that?
Chorus line.
I repeated a chorus line. All right, folks, you've been listening to The Long Shot. I think the message we can take away from today, and maybe this is even the title of the episode, is stickers are fun.
Pew, 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 pew.
Thank you, Phil.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time on our 9-year anniversary episode of
with the Long special Shot. Celebrity guests.
With special celebrity guests, Joe Wagner. See you next time.